title of my message, I'm going to start right with that, just so it's kind of an unusual title. It's the letter B, the number 4, and the letter U, and a blank. B, for you, blank, pray. Before you pray. Before you blank, pray. Before you do something, pray about it. You know, just something. I mean, it's like last week I mentioned, I didn't realize it, but I was talking about my message as I was up making the announcements and praying. I said, before you panic, pray. Because my sister had lost, my daughter had lost her keys, and we prayed, and my brother lost my father's wallet, or my father lost his wallet, and we prayed before they panicked. So that's kind of the, what I'm telling people, before you do some things, pray. Before you panic, pray. You know, we know from Matthew 18, 19, and 20, that the Lord is in the midst of us when we gather together. I'm going to go through a lot of scriptures tonight because we're not talking about one thing, but we're talking about a lot of things tonight, talking about prayer and then a lot of things to do before we pray. So if you look at, I'm going to go slow, and if you want to turn with me, I'm going to read the verse in chapter 18 of Matthew 18. It says, again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Agreement in prayer. You know, if we agree, then God promises, Jesus promises that our Father will, it shall be done. And then verse 20 says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So we know when we gather together in church, in a prayer meeting, that the Lord Jesus is in our midst. But what about if we pray alone? What if we're alone? Is the Father with us? Do we have to have somebody? Of course not. In fact, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, Jesus teaches, he says, But you, when you pray, enter into your closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. So when we're there in secret, our Father is there with us. Yep. And thy Father which sees in secret shall reward thee openly. So some people say, well, you got to have somebody with you to pray. Otherwise, Jesus is not in your midst. No. Our Father is with us. In fact, when we're alone with God, you know, the Father is with you. The Lord is with you. So we can pray alone or we can pray with someone and the Lord is with us. And that's good to know. But the first thing is, before you blank, pray. Before you worry, before you panic, pray. And that's a scripture that we talk about all the time, you know, not to panic. I know many of these scriptures are real familiar to us, but I like to read them because this was a good study for me on prayer, you know, because I think I have been praying a little bit more than I used to. I'm trying to pray more because I just feel like I need the Lord more. I need Him more and more. So before I panic, I want to pray. And that's what Philippians 4 tells us. Philippians 4, Brother Rusty kind of quoted that tonight a little bit. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Says, be careful for nothing. You know, in other words, don't be anxious. Don't be worried. Don't let distracting care, you know, don't be so worried about things. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. So don't panic. Don't be worried. Don't be anxious. Don't let distracting care take away your peace. Be careful for nothing. But when you feel like you're about to panic, or you feel like you're just burdened by the cares of this world, they're distracting you, then pray. You know? Prayer, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. And then be thankful. Let your requests be made known unto God. Let God, God knows what you need, but still we're told to pray. And then when you pray, what happens? You get the peace of God. The peace of God which passes all understanding. That's like a miracle in itself. When you pray, all of a sudden you really feel peace. I remember when I was taking the bar exam, I was talking to a lady who was taking the bar exam with me, and she was so upset. She was so nervous. She was shaking a little bit. And I said, well, let me pray with you. And she goes, all right. So I prayed for her, and she goes, wow. You prayed, and I have peace now. So, God's word is true. You're the peace of God. She couldn't understand it. She said, what did you do? I said, I just prayed with you. I just prayed. I asked God to give you peace. And God gave a peace. So God gives us a peace that we really can't understand, and keeps our hearts and minds. You know, both our hearts are sometimes so full of worry, and our minds are full of worry. You know, we worry in our heart and we worry in our mind. But, the Lord fills us with the peace of God, the peace of God. So it's a good thing. Something else, that before we do something, we should pray before you talk. Before you talk, before you complain, before you criticize, pray. And that, I know everybody knows this scripture. It's just one chapter back. I'm going to go over it because it's a good verse, and we can't forget it. It's one chapter back from Philippians. It's in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 4:29. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Let no corrupt communication, not a little, not some, but let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. No, don't even talk if it's, because, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. No, you don't want to say anything. So before you talk, before you criticize, or before you complain, pray. That's what God wants you to do. Because you should pray so that the Lord gives you wisdom not to talk, or not to be critical. Because even if you, sometimes you just want to talk to somebody and you realize that what you're doing is not ministering grace. You're just sharing your woes, and it's not ministering grace. What grace does, grace is something that allows us to obey God, allows us to do good, allows us to please God. But if what you're saying doesn't minister grace to the person who hears it, you might be making it easier for them to sin. You're making it harder for them to obey God instead of easier. Our word should minister grace and not cause people to have trouble to obey God, or have trouble to do good, or make it easier for them to sin. If you share something and it's not, if it's corrupt, if it's something that you shouldn't be talking about or saying, if it's criticism, it's not going to minister grace. It's going to minister the opposite of grace, and it's going to make the person who hears it sin. They might get angry. They might take up your offense. And God gives us grace. If you're having a problem, God gives you grace to handle it. But if you share that problem, you share that complaint or criticism with someone else, they might have the God-given grace that you have. So be careful what you say. And remember, so before you start to talk, just, I'm going to pray, Lord, is this going to minister grace? Is this going to edify the person I'm talking to? And God may say no. And you just say, and it, that takes a little bit of self-discipline, even a little bit of crucifying the flesh. You got to not talk. And then if you look a couple of verses above that, you know, before you get angry, pray. Verse 26, right in that same chapter, Ephesians 4:26, it says, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." You know, don't. I guess you can get angry if it's righteous anger, but don't sin. You know, you don't want to sin when you get angry. So it's a good thing to, before you feel yourself getting angry and pray about it. Lord, help me to get through this. Help me to overcome this anger. So, and maybe you won't even get angry. The Lord will give you a peace, or give you a love for the person you're getting angry at, and you won't even get angry. That way you don't have to worry about, you know, being angry and sinning. So, you know, and you don't want to give place to the devil. You know, if you get angry, you're giving place to the devil. So before you get angry, pray. Before you get angry, pray. You know, give it to the Lord. So before we worry, before we talk, here's another thing. You might not think so, but before you eat or drink, pray. You know, that's what in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. A lot of these verses are familiar to us, but it's good to review them and look at them and see how they apply to our prayer life. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. "Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." So you're sitting down to eat. Are you going to give glory to God by what you're eating or what you're drinking? You know, I mean, sometimes say, "Of course I'm going to give glory to God." But maybe you need to control what you eat, not to overeat, not to undereat, not to eat the wrong thing. You know, you want to glorify God in everything you do. In fact, that's the other verse that I want to look at is Colossians 3:17 and Colossians 3:23. You know, and that's what he says here. "Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." Whether you're eating or whether you're drinking, do it all to the glory of God. So, and we do pray. We do pray before we eat, and we do pray before we drink. And that's a good thing. But sometimes it'll help us to remember that is what I'm doing glorifying God? Help me, Lord, as I eat, as I have this meal, to glorify you. And then it says, do all to the glory of God. Do all to the glory of God. So pray before you do anything. You know, that's a good thing to do. But before you do something, pray about it. And pray, Lord, that I want to glorify you by what I'm doing. So I went into the other verses that are very similar to these verses that we looked at just now in 1 Corinthians. Is in Colossians, the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." So, whatever you do, so that would be good. Whatever you do, I'm going to pray about it, Lord. No matter what I do, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I'm going to give thanks to God. I'm going to give thanks to God the Father by him. You know, so it's just a good idea. If you think about, you know, we ought to pray without ceasing. I didn't write that verse down, but that's a good thing. Our life is to be filled with prayer. Our day should be filled with prayer. We don't have to be in our prayer closet. We don't have to be in our church, but we can pray wherever we are and pray without ceasing. I didn't write that verse down. It just came to me as I was looking at this. But that's a verse that I love, that we can pray without ceasing. Pray all day long. You know? Pray before, and that way you can do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then verse 23 is very similar to the verse that we just read, verse 17. It says, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily unto the Lord." Sometimes it's not so easy to do certain things heartily unto the Lord. But if you pray, the Lord will help you. I know one of the things I have to do every single day. Betsy's smiling. She knows what I'm going to say. What is it, Betsy?
Litter box.
Clean the litter box. I have to clean the litter box every morning. My two cats, they love my my clean litter box. But if I give glory to God and I do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, well, first of all, I do a good job. I don't think anybody cleans. Betsy will tell you that. Why do you clean this litter box so good? Because I'm doing it. I'm doing it heartily unto the Lord. Yeah. You may laugh, but I tell you what, it doesn't bother me. And, you know, I can do it, and I can glorify God doing a good job keeping a clean litter box. And my cats love it. It's almost funny that as soon as I'm finished, they go in. I said, I'll clean it again. I know they're going to do that because sometimes they stand waiting for me. As soon as it's clean, they run in. But I do it, you know, it's something that whatever I do it heartily unto the Lord. So it gives me joy. It gives me joy to do something that's menial, and I'm doing it as unto the Lord. Something else, you know. So before I clean the litter box, I pray. But before you give up, pray. You know, lots of times we just feel like this is too much for me. This is too much. I can't do it. But before you give up, pray. And that's what the apostles needed to know, because I'm reading in Matthew chapter 8. Where there was a storm. Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. And it says, "And when he was entered into the ship, his disciples followed him. And when Jesus entered into the ship, the apostles followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, 'Lord, save us, we perish.'" It's like, Lord, we're giving up here. We're going to all die. Before you perish, before you give up, call out to the Lord. Pray. Lord, save us. Lord, help me. I don't want this to happen. So before I give up, before I perish, I'm going to cry out, Lord, help me. And then you know what the Lord told me? Apostles, he said unto them, "Why are ye fearful?" That's what happens. You feel like, God, this is too much for me. Lord, this is too much for me. And the Lord says, "Why are you fearful? Oh, you of little faith." That's what happens, you know, before you want to give up. And the Lord tells you, "Why are you fearful? Why do you have such little faith?" And then it says, "Then Jesus arose and rebuked the wind and the sea, and there came a great calm." So that's what happens when you pray before you perish. You get a great calm. Before you give up, before you say, "Lord, this is too much for me," pray. And the Lord will probably say, "Why were you so upset? Why did you think this was so bad?" Because he can work it out. Amen. Just like he calmed this sea, he can calm the storms in your life too. Something else we need to... So before you give up, pray. Before you give up, pray. Or before I give up, I need to pray. Something else we need to... Before we make important decisions, before you make important decisions, pray. That's what the Lord Jesus did. Before he chose his apostles, he prayed. It's Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Verses 12 and 13. Luke chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. It said, it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray. Jesus went out to pray. And he continued all night in prayer to God. He went out into a mountain, so he got alone with his Father, and he prayed all night. And it said, and when it was day, when the day came, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose the 12, whom he named the apostles. So he had more than 12 disciples. He had a lot of disciples following him. And he had to have the mind of God. He had to have the mind of his Father, because he was going to choose the 12 apostles that were going to be his closest friends, his closest disciples, those who were going to really build the church that he was going to leave. So this was an important decision for him. So he prayed. He prayed all night before he chose his 12 apostles. And you know, one of those 12 apostles, verse 16 tells us, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. So one of those 12 apostles was Judas, who betrayed him. But I suppose the Lord had a piece about choosing Judas to be Judas Iscariot, to be his apostle, because he prayed about it. So sometimes we pray about something and it doesn't turn out exactly like we thought it would, but at least we can have a peace about it, because we know we prayed about it, and God directed us to do that. You know, that would give me peace. If I prayed and all of a sudden things seemed to go the opposite of what I thought they were going to go, but I would say, Lord, I prayed about this. This must be your will. This must be what you wanted. There needed to be a traitor. That's right. Well, that's right. So maybe sometimes you pray the Lord to deliver you from a trial, and the trial is worse than you expect. But maybe you needed a little more fiery trial to purify your faith. So, but you can say, Lord, I prayed, so I know I'm not out of your will. I've done what you gave me wisdom to do. Also, you know, we need to pray before we tempt it. Lots of times you can just feel that temptation coming on you, and you need to pray. So before you're tempted, before you give in to sin, it's almost like the Lord gives you like a little quick something. Pray about this before this happens. Pray about this before you do it. And if you pray, you can overcome. It's almost amazing. It's like, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Submit to the Father, submit to God, and he'll draw near to God, and he draws near to you. But you know, Jesus prayed before he was tempted by the devil. So we read that in Matthew and Luke. But you know, Matthew chapter 4. Before the Lord was tempted, he prayed and he fasted. And you know, by praying and fasting, Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So Jesus knew he was going to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. He was hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Well, Jesus was hungry. He was a man. He was fully God, but he was also fully man. And he was hungry. The Bible tells us he was hungry. And the devil was tempting him to do something that he shouldn't do. But he fasted and he prayed for 40 days. And he could resist the devil. So, you know, this is an example again of the Lord giving us an example of what we need to do before we're tempted. When we feel that temptation to sin, when we feel that desire to sin, you know, so often you just feel something welling up in you. You know, you want to get angry, or you want to tell somebody something, or you want to just do something. Maybe, I don't think any of us have a lot of temptation to steal something, but sometimes it just looks like this would be so easy to get away with. No one will know. I could get away with this, but you know it's wrong. And you say, Lord, help me. Help me not to do this. And you resist the devil and he flees. So before you're tempted, before you give in to sin, pray. Another thing that happens, sometimes we let our emotions rule us. You know, we just let our emotions rule. Before you let your emotions rule, pray. It's something that, you know, because we get emotional, we sometimes say things that we're not thinking about what we're saying. And before you let emotions rule, pray. I'm going to read something in Matthew chapter 26. I think this is the account of Peter. Matthew 26, verse 31. Matthew 26, verse 31. Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Verse 33 says, Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. You know, and Peter was speaking out of his emotion, his love for the Lord, his desire just to do only what the Lord Jesus wanted him to do. So he said, I'll never be offended. I'll never be offended no matter what happens. And then Jesus tells him, Verily I say unto thee, this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. He said, Peter, you're letting your mouth talk before, you know, just out of emotions, out of, and then, you know, it wasn't just Peter. Because Peter says again in verse 35, Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. They all said, What Peter said, yeah, Lord, we'll never deny you. We'll never forsake you. If Peter would have just prayed before he made that decision, before he let his emotions rule, because it really caused him to hurt, to suffer. I don't know what would have happened if Peter would have prayed. But maybe he would have not let his emotions rule. So when you feel emotional, pray. When you feel like you just have to, you're being ruled by your emotions, pray. And then if you're going to say something or do something, you can follow. It's the Lord getting you through it. Another something else. Before you start something new, pray. You know, I mean, that's both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. I want to look at this Old Testament scripture. Now, the Old Testament scripture about Abraham in Genesis 12. Genesis chapter 12, verses 6 and 8 and 9. So go to Genesis chapter 12. We'll see, this is early on in Abraham's life. In fact, he's still Abram. Genesis 12, verse 6. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sichem, unto the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanites and the Canaanite was in the land. This is a, you know, God had just, you know, said, you know, he told Abraham to leave your land, you know. And Abraham and Sarai and Lot, they left Haran. They were starting something new. They were moving to a new land. And when Abraham went through this land, the Canaanite was still there. And then the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. So what did he do? He built an altar. He prayed. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. So before he started this new life in this new land, it says verse 9, and Abraham journeyed, going on still to the south. So before Abraham was going to start this new life in a new land, he went to the Lord. He prayed. He built an altar and made a sacrifice. So that's something we can learn from. Before we start something new, a new project, something new in our life, a new job, take some time and pray. You know, ask the Lord to bless it and to direct you. You know, if you're going to start a new ministry, that's something that you should definitely bring before the Lord. You feel the Lord is calling you to do something or a new work for Him. Pray. That's what the early church did. We read in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Verse 1. It says, now there were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simon, and that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. It says, and as they ministered unto the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work wherein I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. So the church in Antioch was ready to start some new ministry. They were going to send out missionaries. And what did they do? They prayed. They ministered unto the Lord and fasted. And the Holy Ghost gave them wisdom. The Holy Ghost told them who to send out. The Holy Ghost said, separate for me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And what did they do? And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. So before they started this new ministry, they prayed, and the Holy Ghost gave them wisdom, telling them who to send out, Barnabas and Saul. Something else we don't really think about, but before you stop something, you know, you've been doing a project, you've been working, and before you stop, before you take a rest, pray. Think about it. That's what God the Creator did. You know, he says, Genesis 1, chapter 31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Chapter 2, verse 1, it says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. So when you finish a project, and you say, I think I'm finished. Look at it and say, is this very good? Like the Lord did. You can say, I've done it. It's very good. And then, you know, before you stop, pray and say, can I say this is very good? Can I say my work is very good? Just like the Lord did before he rested. He looked and he said, behold, it is good. It is very good. So that's something we can do. We can stop and see if our work is very good. Here's something else. Before you get revenge, before you want revenge, pray. You know, the scriptures in the Old Testament and the New Testament, it says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. We're not supposed to revenge. We're not supposed to want revenge. So when you feel that, just that welling up inside you, somebody did something to you, somebody said something or did something or cut you off in traffic, before you want revenge, realize revengeance is the Lord. It's the Lord who revenge. And that's in Romans and in Hebrews. I'd like to look at both those scriptures that would tell us before we seek revenge or before we want revenge, that God's going to, Romans chapter 12. Let me turn there. I got my old Bible tonight because I like my old Bible. It's falling apart, but it helps me. I'm more familiar. Yeah, I like an old Bible. Romans chapter 12. It's the last part of that verse. Very, very last part of that verse. Oh, chapter 12, verse 19 through 21. Verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So before you want to get revenge, or worse than that, before you get revenge, pray. And remember that the Lord says, vengeance is mine, and he will repay. He can do, you know, sometimes your vengeance makes you feel good, but if God venges, you know, avenges you, if God avenges you, you know it wasn't from you, and you don't have to take revenge. And then Hebrews 10 tells us the same thing. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30. Yeah, verse 30 says, for we know him that has said, vengeance belongs unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. You know, vengeance belongs unto the Lord. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. We shouldn't want revenge, so before you seek revenge or even think about revenge, pray. Lord, I know this is not for me. This is not for me to do. I'm going to put this in your hands, and vengeance is yours. Something else that happens, often we get afraid. Before you get afraid, before you fear, pray. You know, that's 2 Timothy. Chapter 1, verse 7, it says, God doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. I know that verse without looking at it. 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 7. 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 7. It says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So when you just feel that fear coming over you, remember what it says here. God doesn't give us a spirit of fear. And that's what that is. That fear is not of God. It's a spirit that the devil is trying to give you. The enemy is trying to put that spirit of fear on you. So before you feel that spirit of fear just getting a hold of you, pray about it. Lord, deliver me from this spirit of fear. And I know that you don't give me a spirit of fear, but you give me a spirit of power and a spirit of love and a sound mind. and just receive what the Lord gives you instead of what the devil has given you, a spirit of fear. So these are some things that before you worry, before you talk, before you eat or drink, before you get angry, before you give up, before you make important decisions, before you give in to sin, before you're ruled by your emotions or start something new, even before you rest, pray. Before you want revenge, before you fear. And the last thing I want to talk about is before you die. Before you die, pray. Because we're all going to die. And you know, we do have a good example of the Lord Jesus. He knew he was going to die. And he prayed. He prayed to his Father. And he prayed on the cross right before he died. He prayed. Now, I want to just look at some of these scriptures. Let's go to the Gospel of Matthew. Again, we're looking like a lot in Matthew 26, but we'll go back to Matthew 26. Verses 36. Matthew 26, verse 36. So then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane. And he said unto his disciples, sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. You know, so Jesus is going to pray. He knows what's about to happen. And what does he do? He goes to pray. And you know, what he prays is he prays, verse 39 says, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. So, you know, Jesus, you know, is asking, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, but not as I will, but as thou wilt. He's praying. You know, sometimes maybe it's not our physical death, but maybe it's the death of our flesh. We're being crucified. We're crucifying our flesh. We're putting our flesh to death. And you don't want to put your flesh to death. It hurts. And you say, Lord, if it's possible that I don't have to do this, let this cup pass by me, but nevertheless, if it's your will, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get through this. I'm going to put my flesh to death. You know, and Jesus told, he said in verse 31, this is not 31, 41, he says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. So that kind of brings us back to where we were talking about before you're tempted to pray. Well, that's what Jesus is telling his apostles. He says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation, because the spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. Sometimes our spirit is willing to resist temptation, but our flesh is weak. So Jesus is telling us to watch and to pray that you don't enter into temptation. Sometimes that's what it takes, a prayer to allow us to put our flesh to the cross and to avoid temptation. But then, right before Jesus' death, he prayed again. He prayed on the cross. And this gives us a real good example of prayer right before you die. Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Now, this is Jesus on the cross. And what does he do? He prays. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. So here's Jesus at the cross of Calvary, and he's praying, Father, forgive them. That's something we could do. If we're on our deathbed, we know things are going to end soon, but people have hurt us, we want to know that we're forgiving him. We're forgiving them because our Father will forgive us if we forgive them. And then in that same chapter, verse 46, And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Boy, is that, you know, as you are going on to glory, have a prayer on your lips like Jesus. Boy, that's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing. Jesus cried with a loud voice. That's what we can do. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And then go on to the presence of the Lord. You know, the martyr Stephen did the exact same thing. If we look at Stephen's prayer right before he died, Acts chapter 7, verses 59 and 60. Acts chapter 7. He says, and they stoned Stephen. And what was Stephen doing? They stoned me. He was calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Just as Jesus prayed to his Father, Father, receive my spirit. Here's Stephen calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Boy, giving you a peace at death. If you had that opportunity to pray on your deathbed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And then he did the same thing that the Lord Jesus did. It says, verse 60, he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. So go to your death. Go, as you die, forgiving, having no, you know, not holding any sin against anyone who's caused you, you know, having no sin, forgiving everyone. That's what the Lord Jesus did, and that's what we see Peter doing. You know, he's, Lord, receive my spirit. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Those are some good things to do. Before you do these things, pray. Before you worry or talk or eat, or before you die, pray. But I want to turn it around. I want to say, before you pray, do these things. You know, and we can see that's exactly what Stephen did. The first thing I have on my list is, before you pray, forgive. We know that. Before you ask for forgiveness, pray and forgive. Jesus tells us to do that at the end of the Lord's Prayer. You know, Matthew chapter 6. He said, if you want to be forgiven, you've got to forgive. So before you pray, make sure that you forgive. Matthew 6, verse 14 and 15. Well, we even know further up, you know, where he says, Our Father who art in heaven, all that, you know, with that verse, he says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Verse 12, forgive us, you know, we're praying, Father, forgive us as we forgive others. In verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So before you pray, forgive. We also read that in a different way in Mark 11, 25 and 26. Mark 11, turn right there, because this is important, an important verse to realize in this account. You know, Jesus is telling us to have faith. In Mark 11, 25 and 26. Mark 11, 25. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. So that's what he's telling us. And when you pray, when you stand praying, forgive. But if you, verse 26, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. So when you pray, remember, you can't have any unforgiveness in your heart. You've got to pray. You've got to forgive before you pray. So before you pray, forgive. Another thing that's important, before you pray, love the Lord. Really have a love in your heart for the Lord. I was reading a verse just this morning as I was... I love to study the book of Psalms, and I was reading in the book of Psalms, and this verse just kind of jumped off the page because I was thinking about doing things before I pray. And it's Psalm 116, Psalm 116, which kind of tells me before I pray, I need to love the Lord. Psalm 116, verse 1. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. You know, I love the Lord. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice. He's heard my prayers. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. You know, so love the Lord. Love him. Love him when you pray. In something else we should do before we pray. That's what we read this in when we read the verse in Philippians 4, you know. Before you pray, thank the Lord. You know, when you come to pray, come with a thankful heart. When we come to pray, before we pray, be thankful. Be so thankful that God hears your prayers, that he's going to answer your prayers. In fact, Psalm 100, since I'm still in Psalms because I didn't turn my book yet, but Psalm 100, which is right there close to Psalm 116, Psalm 100. Enter to his gates with thanksgiving. You know, when you come into the presence of the Lord, when you come into his gates, come with thanksgiving. So before you pray, be thankful. Have thanksgiving in your heart. Say, Lord, I'm thankful. I'm so thankful as I come before you today and I pray. So come before his presence with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. So something else as you come to pray. Praise God. Praise God before you come to pray. So come with that. That's what this verse here says. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Before you come into the Lord's presence, be thankful unto him and bless his name. So be thankful and bless him, praise him, and then pray. Something else we ought to do before we pray is we ought to know who God is. Who is this God that we're praying for, praying to? You know that we read this verse already, but I'm going to look at it again. It was in where Jesus calmed the storm. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, verse 27. He says, well, you know, Jesus calmed the storm, and then he said, the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? So if you know who the Lord is, this just gives us a little tiny glimpse of who the Lord Jesus is. It says the apostles, well, they marveled, saying, who is this? What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? So when you pray, if you really know who God is, know him for who he is, then you know your prayers will be answered. And it helps you to do the next thing, to believe. You know, in Mark 11, 22 and 24, you know, before we pray, we need to believe. We need to believe that we receive what we pray for. I'm going to turn to those scriptures too. I'm flipping back and forth a lot, but these are just scriptures that are on my heart, and I wrote them down because I think they're Mark 11, 24, scriptures that our brother Brian Graves really loves to quote. So before you pray, have faith. That's Mark 11, 22. Jesus answered, said unto them, have faith in God. So before you pray, believe. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe, those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. So, when you pray, or even, you know, if you just think about it, before you pray, believe, have faith in God, and then pray. You know, I wrote, you know, before you give up, pray. But we can also turn it the other way around. Before you pray, give up. You know, say, I'm not going to fight the fight anymore. I'm just going to give up and give it into the Lord's hands. You know, it's too much for me. So before I pray, I'm going to give up. I'm just going to say, Lord, I surrender to you. Whatever you want me to do. It's like dying to self. If you're going to give up. In fact, Jesus kind of taught that in Luke chapter 14. He's telling us, Luke chapter 14, verses 26 and 20. He said, well, verse 26, Luke chapter 14. If any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So it's almost like you have to just let go of everything that is so important to you. Not that the Lord is teaching us to hate, but to, you know, to when compared to the love you have for God, it's almost like a hate for anything else. The verse I want to look at here is verse 33. So likewise, whosoever be of you that forsaketh not all that he has cannot be my disciple. So you have to just give up. Give it up to the Lord. Forsake all that you have. You cannot be my disciple. So, and then we can even do as you forsake all that you have, you can realize your helplessness. You know, we before we pray, realize we are pretty helpless. But we realize that Jesus can do all things. You know, Jesus himself even said that when he was on the earth. In John chapter 5, Jesus' words, he says, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatsoever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. You know, Jesus realized that the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, whatsoever thing the Father does, these also does the Son likewise. So if we realize that we are helpless, but Jesus can do all things. And verse 30 says the same thing. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. You know, if we think of that, of my own self, I can do nothing. Before we pray, we can say, of my own self, I can do nothing. And I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. And then we can always remember the scripture also in Philippians 4:13, that I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. So if we realize that we are helpless, then when we pray, we can say, I know I can't do this on my own, but with your help, Lord, with your help, I can do all things. And before we pray, we have to realize that God knows what we need before we pray. Matthew 6, verses 7 and 8, you know. We're told to pray, but let's realize that God knows what we need before we pray. We also, before we pray, we should know what God's will is. 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15. I'm going to read that quick, and then we're going to I'm about to finish up. I want to say one more thing. We want to know what God's will is. For anything we ask God according to His will, He hears us. And if He hears us, we know we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. So, I didn't realize this was going to have this much. So there's just a few more things I want to end with. I wanted to change my title myself from Before You Pray to Before I Pray. Or Before I Do These Things Like Panic or Worry or Complain. Before I Do These Things, I'm going to pray. And just one last thing, and it's we see a good example when Moses went before the Lord after the Israelites worshiped the golden calf. You know, Moses was serious about his prayer. I'm not going to go there, but I'll just read it to you in Exodus chapter 32. Verses 30 through 32. You know, Moses prays, he intercedes for those, and he says, if you can't forgive them, blot me out of thy book. You know, he says, blot me out of thy book. Moses was willing to be blotted out of the book to see his people saved, have his intercession granted. And then Paul did the same thing in Romans chapter 9. You know, he said that, I would consider myself accursed if you would save the Jews. And this is what Jesus did. You know, he was the just for the unjust. He went to the cross, the just for the unjust. That's real powerful. When you pray, Lord, you know, I'll take the punishment for someone else. If you would forgive them. But that's true intercession in a powerful, powerful way. So I didn't realize my notes were so much. I thought it was only a short little bit. But I'm going to end there. So, Father, I thank you for your wisdom and your word. And help us to pray in a way that glorifies you. And help us to remember, before we pray, to do these things, and then before we do some things that don't glorify you, that we do pray. Father, I thank you for using your word to teach us so much tonight. Help us, Lord, to be more like you and to follow your example. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.